It's Tuesday evening, July 19th.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessing. Lord, we that there would be an expression of your truth. We would succeed in that, and that the only way we would succeed is by way of the Holy Spirit. Our truth is not worth much. But Lord, that it would be truth that is coming from the Holy Spirit, by your Spirit, to make it work. Give us your words to express things right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Scott and Bonnie, we have dedicated this message tonight to you because you asked me a few weeks ago, you said, have you got any new revelations? And I apologize because we have had one of the greatest revelations that I've ever had. And yet, it's so simple that the first church, of course, they all knew about it. And we had a fellow come back here a number of years ago from the chapel. His name was Brad Mitla. And I don't know if you remember him or not, but he married, his wife's name was Lori. And she was from Pippin, Wisconsin, which is not too far away. And so I think that kind of attracted him to come back. Well, since then, they've been separated. But he brought the message to us, and I don't know if it was because of me that he left or what happened, because I couldn't buy it, because I had been under the impression that Jesus was God, you know, or that he was a God, or whatever that he was of, and what I didn't realize is that there are no scriptures that tell us that. And as a matter of fact, we have two large signs, one upstairs of the church and one downstairs. It says, it's 1 Timothy, the second chapter, in the fourth and fifth verses. And it says, the fourth verse says, God's will is for all men to be saved. And in the scriptures it says, and come to the knowledge of the truth. And then in verse 5 it says, for there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That really caught our attention. And so it has had an indelible impact on us. And we're thankful for it. And so I'm not going to say everything here, but I could. But I want these guys to put in their 3 cents worth or whatever they got. And anyway, we're thankful for the revelation. And you know what? When you get the revelation, so you can't help but be thankful. Mm. Truth always makes people thankful.
Yeah. I think one thing about it all, ordinarily people would say, well, if you're saying that Jesus was just a man, that he wasn't God, you are like downgrading him. You know, you're not showing the proper reverence for what he was. You know, and we've known that is so totally mistaken.
Yeah.
That is just not true. He is a man who was full of God. Mm-hmm. Man without sin, like Adam, before Adam's troubles. But he, unlike Adam, he was tempted by Satan and didn't succumb. provides for us something that we, who are also men, can do. Of course, it has to be in His steps. It has to be with His. It requires that we too be full of God, which Paul prayed for in Ephesians 3. That you would be filled with the fullness of God. That sounds like Jesus, same thing that Jesus was. You know? If Paul prayed it, had to have been something that could happen. And there are so many scriptures that all of a sudden make sense, because Jesus was not God, He was a man. But there's glory in that. There's a special glory in that.
Yeah. What was the name, the guy's name that was from, he was from Chippewa, but he was also from Seattle. His name was Jeff. Jeff Cotter. Do you guys remember Jeff and Barb Cotter? Well, anyway, Jeff got the same revelation, and he brought me a book. It was called One God and One Lord. And I don't know what happened to the book. Somebody had borrowed it, and I don't have it, but I think Charlie or somebody bought me the other copy. So I still have the copy of the thing. And so it's not like we're an isolated thing. A lot of people have come to this revelation. And this is a big organization down in
Indiana,
maybe? Mm-hmm. We're not sure. But Don Burnett taught something that was, it's logical, but it's not scriptural. And he taught that Jesus was fully God and fully man. And there are no scriptures that say that. But if we look at it close, we'd say, well, of course he's fully God. But the thing is, and what we've come to the realization is that he was full of God. He was not fully God. He was full of God. And he said, it's the Father that's in me that does the works. And Jesus said, in the 17th chapter of John, he said, this is eternal life. This is life eternal, he said, I think. That I would know you, the only true God. He was praying. He said, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And he put an "and" in there. And as we looked at it from the scriptures, the "and" makes a big difference, because he was not God. He was not God in the flesh. Although the Jews thought that that's what he was saying, but he kept referring to himself as the Son of Man. And I mean, besides being the Son of God.
You know, the doctrine of the Trinity arose after the Council of Nicaea.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm right in this. I don't have absolute historical proof, but I believe that, you know, that was all within the context of the Roman Empire. And in the Roman Empire, all their emperors were gods. You know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, maybe Christianity, in order to be respectable for the pagan, you know, the polytheistic pagan world tried to say, hey, we're like you too. Look, we got three gods in one. Mm-hmm. Three gods with three persons. And all that is a political solution to a political problem.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's a good way for us to be getting at truth.
No.
Having a political solution to a political problem.
And a lot of the manuscripts were after that. You know, they were after that time frame. So we can't really be sure on some of these things because the manuscripts are, you know, they're not close enough to the real original time for us to go by them. But it's not that. It's just like, I have a lot of scriptures. And one of them is 1 John the 4th chapter. And I'll quote it. It says, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they're from God or not. For many false prophets have gone into the world. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess he came in the flesh is not from God. And then it says, and that is a spirit of the Antichrist. When I was in the Lutheran Church, I taught Trinity. And I used the theology that they taught me and so forth. And they taught that Jesus was a God. Because you're taught it for so long, it kind of sticks with you. But the Bible tells us that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. It says in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And so the head of Christ is God. But not as a God over a God. As a God over a perfect man.
He's a glorified man.
A glorified man, yes.
And so, I mean, there are many attributes to that glorification that have deity features, but that's not, you know, that doesn't somehow convert him to a God.
It's funny, if you give yourself over to the Father to be taught by Him, by His Holy Spirit, it's amazing all the scriptures that He opens up. I mean, I'm just painting through John 4, 5, 6. There must be 10 references to the humanity of Christ. You know?
Yes.
Or descriptions, you know, constantly. But the Father, I do the will of the Father who sent me. And it says that a couple different times. He was sent. And then it says, this is one we've talked about too. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. You know what I mean? And it says, Jesus says, I will come, for he states in Revelation, and you will see the Son of Man coming. You know? He makes the emphasis, you know?
Yeah.
I can go through John and probably find 15 references at least without even trying hard. Of course, I've went through and underlined them a lot of them just so they're easier to grasp, you know, if I page through the Bible. But And then, I mean, there's Old Testament, there's all, almost every gospel has something in it. Almost every book in the New Testament has something of his humanity. You just have to let your mind go and let the Holy Spirit show it to you. Ask to have it show it to you. And all of a sudden, it becomes so clear. And, you know, it's like, well, maybe Corky wants to share this, but he always mentions, yeah, the reason everybody thought he had to be God because all the miracles he did, you know. But then what we failed to see after is, but then the disciples did all the same thing. So are they gods? You know, we've seen miracles in our day and age. Are the people doing them gods? No. They have God in them, though. The Spirit of God, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just one little instance. If we sit here and we go to different books of the Bible, it pops up all over the place, you know.
Jesus said that the Father was greater than he was.
Yeah. He says, I go to my God.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different one.
No, go for it.
No, it says, I go to my God and to your God.
Yeah.
So he puts himself with believers or with people.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that's the other one. My God is greater than all.
And then in one place he says, the Son can of himself do nothing.
Yes. I think that's in John. And then there's another reference where it says, it just says, the only God.
Yeah.
Well, now, I don't care what they do. You can't say only God and then go, all but three. That's stupidness. You know? I mean, you can't just throw that out there and try to make it something.
Well, I begin to realize how much the Trinity, how much of an impact and influence it had on me. And even though I did not believe in the Trinity, I was still affected by it. And this is one spot where I was affected by it. There's a scripture in the 24th chapter of Luke where he appeared after the resurrection, he appeared to some of the disciples. And they said, as a spirit. And he said, does a spirit have flesh and bones as you see me have? He was saying, I'm not a spirit. I'm a person. The Son of Man was resurrected. The Son of God didn't have to be.
Yeah.
Or did he?
No, he's man. Man got resurrected.
Yeah. And so anyway, it's one of those things that you look at and you look at and you look at and finally you say, well, of course.
Well, we got to go to Acts. And Peter is testifying after the experience in the upper room. And of course, Jesus has been resurrected and went into heaven. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and crucified. So why would he say that? You know? He knew who he was. He was a man attested by God.
And is that the same place where it says that God made him Lord in Christ?
It's not right in that spot.
The, that the house of Israel know assuredly. That God made that same Jesus that you crucified, Lord and Christ. God made him that.
Yeah, a little later on it says, therefore, it's verse 30 and 2. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are witnesses.
In the, I think it's in the book of Laodicea.
Oh, yes. Here, in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
God made him then.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Christ was the anointed one. You know, the oil of the Holy Spirit was poured on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was what the anointing was.
Why would he have to be anointed? He was God.
Right.
It says in the, I think the book of Laodicea, where Jesus said, he that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I overcame and am sat with the Father in his throne. I don't know.
Letter to Laodicea. Yeah. You mentioned here, Keith, that Don Barnett would say that Jesus was fully man and fully God. And you said it might have been kind of logical, but it's not scriptural. Well, I don't think it's even particularly logical. You know, if you are fully man, you are only man. To be fully man means to have a lot of the limitations that man has.
That's good.
And you can't, you know, in being God at the same time, you can't pull that off. You can't be fully man.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
And then fully God. No. You're one or the other.
Right.
But you're not both.
Could he be fully man filled with God?
Sure, he most certainly could.
Which is what the case.
Yes. Yeah. Fully man filled with God. That's right.
And that's why it says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was in him. But that didn't make him God.
No.
Yeah, and what Charlie kind of opened up with, you know, it makes it look like well, how many men do you know that walked perfect their whole life? I'd say that's a pretty special person. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a greater feat. That's the greatest feat a man could possibly do, is walk perfect. Without sin.
The best thing you can do is want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the best you can do. Is want to.
There is kind of a problem because there is the liberal, unbelieving church that talk about how he was a great teacher or whatever, you know. And they would not. You know, they say he was a man who was a great teacher. And the concern is that, hey, when your doctrine is that in the humanity of Christ, you line yourself up with this unbelieving liberal church that says, well, he was a great teacher, but nothing, you know. Deny the virgin birth, they would deny the resurrection. resurrection. And the concern is that we put ourselves in that camp. Well, that's just plain not the camp we're in. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. No. But that's, I'm sure there's plenty of people that said, oh, no, oh, they believe in the humanity of Christ. That sounds like apostasy to me. No.
Well, it's not.
No, it's not. That's right. It's not.
I have had a lot of experiences, and I've been thankful for all of them, but I am really thankful for this one. It opened up another door that, you know, opens up into the heavenly that you don't even know what's there.
One of the things that came with it was a deeper meaning of baptism.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because now we can totally identify with him.
Yeah.
You know?
To as many as have put or have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, it says.
Yeah. And you die, you know?
Yeah.
Come up. Plus the blood. That was the other one, too.
Well, the thing, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But the blood of goats and bulls didn't do it.
No.
The only blood that was sufficient was Christ.
You know, the Jews.
He's the only one.
The Jews were waiting for a Messiah. Waiting for a Messiah. You know, based on what Moses said there in Deuteronomy, there'll be a greater one. Hear him, one that's greater than me. Waiting for a Messiah. Well, the Messiah they were waiting for was a man. You know, they weren't waiting for any God. They were waiting for an anointed man.
Well, like we noticed the other day in Deuteronomy, it says a prophet will be raised up who is one like you.
Yeah.
And they're all men.
Yeah. Well, it was.
You know, that little phrase there, who will be one like you?
Moses.
Yeah.
And he was a man for sure.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, I think they were probably looking for a Messiah that would come down out of heaven in a golden chariot, drive away all the Romans, you know, not born in a stable. You know, they were looking for something a little more grandiose than what they got there. So, but still, they were looking for a man. Looking for a man.
God has a way of humbling men, even his son. That was not a good way to go. The cross was one of the most cruelest instruments ever. Be born in a stable. I mean, there was not. It didn't seem like anything good was coming, you know.
Scripture I just love. It's in John 18 when Jesus and Pilate were going back and forth, you know. And Pilate asked him, are you a king then? And Jesus' answer was, I was born, for this reason I was sent.
And born and sent?
Yeah, born and sent. That I would bear witness to the truth. That was the whole reason for it. Bear witness to the truth. And that those who are of the truth will hear my voice.
Yeah. That's a good statement.
Yeah. That's what his mission was.
Yeah.
to bear witness to the truth. And then Pilate, you know, what's truth?
What is truth?
Yeah. And doesn't wait around for an answer.
No. Poor Pilate.
Oh, yeah, he was in a jam, wasn't he?
Oh, horrible. And his wife told him, she says, I have nothing to do with this house. He says, I had a dream, and we never did find out what the dream was, but stay away from him.
Yeah. Well, he would have preferred that.
Yeah, he would have. Pilate said, who are you? He didn't say anything. He wouldn't say anything.
Don't you know that I can...
Huh?
Don't you know that I've got the power of life and death over you? You know, when Jesus was quiet.
He says, you have no power at all. If God, if the Father didn't give it to you. That scared him even worse.
Yeah, it's when you can't shake a man when he's staring death in the face, you know you have a particular kind of man, peculiar.
Yeah.
I continue to be impressed in the spirit with how much greater eternal life is in the mercy of the Father when you realize that he sent his son, and his son was a man, not a God. Because
that's good.
It clears the way to let us know that it's possible for us. I mean, if I continue to think that Jesus is a God, I know I'm not a God. I know I can't walk that way unless the Father did something miraculously and changed me. But as a man, and seeing how that man was able to live with the Father, with him and in him, just my faith explodes with hope at that, because that means that promise that the Scriptures provide is real. And it makes other things like repentance such more important. And born again, dying and being resurrected with him, and in the born again experience, to starting over and getting the clean spiritually, to try and walk that walk.
You know, the little phrase that's along with born again is it's born from above. Now that, in a sense, puts you in that same place as Jesus. You know, I mean, it's a greater thing. I have to stop and think about it. I had to stop and think about it. Being born again is way more than I thought it was in the beginning. I mean, it was great. Yeah, I'm saved again, but I didn't think nothing of it. But all of a sudden it says, you're born from above. God's saying, I'm making this a totally new, different thing that's ever been done that correlates with my son who came. Now he's born of a woman, but God overshadowed the seed or whatever you want to say, the egg or whatever, to bring that about. And it's kind of like he's saying, and now I've made a provision for you to walk in that same thing. You know, now of course we don't walk as perfect yet, or whatever, but we're there, you know. There's, like, and it's a hope, like Corky said, that gives you hope, you know. And it gives you a deeper appreciation for the Father. I mean, it's just, you know, he makes us almost equal with his son in a lot of ways. which we absolutely don't deserve, you know. But he's so willing, and he wants this family of his family of children that are his. You know, that's his, that was, well, it's really, I think when you think about it, that's the whole reason he created the world and the universe, was to have a people, his people, you know.
You know, people are troubled by the idea of, well, if Jesus was sent from heaven, hey, he's got to be a guy. Well, if you're born again, you are, in a sense, also sent from heaven.
From that point on.
That's right.
You know?
You're sent from heaven.
Yeah.
So you're, Jesus was sent from heaven, as were we.
Yeah.
Now, you know.
I was just going to take on, I think the way to look at that is, from a salvational standpoint, because we're born again from above, we are equal with Christ in a salvational standpoint.
In position, if not in a company.
I mean, you've got to be careful there, because even the scripture, you know, there's one mediator, and he's the way to.
And he's the head. We're the body.
And he's the head, yeah. But when you, but from the aspect, you can attain salvation just like Christ. That, I think, is what's trying to be conveyed there, which is also pretty good. Dwell in that, just kind of wrap your arms around that. And
yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We can go around this wheel, but it's just really easy to explain Christ as more than Christ by all the things he did. Because other people were praying to God, and they weren't doing the same things. They didn't have the power because the Father didn't give it to them. And it's, you know, we just want to kind of take a scratch the surface approach to the scriptures. Yeah, you had to be God. Because that's what God's do.
Yeah.
And you start, but as we've said,
he's no ordinary man.
Jesus denied that. I mean, Jesus himself denied that. And I have a slight law in the back of my head. You know, there's a lot of people that kind of think about Greek mythology. And in Greek mythology, there were levels of gods. You know, there was Zeus, and then he had sons who were also gods. And that somehow, I think, they said, yes, that works. They just folded that all in and said, yeah, just like his, this is where Jesus and I all were. You know, just ignoring the word. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, when this was written, people had gods, the sun god, the moon god, and, you know, and Christ kept saying, these are not true gods. Son's a powerful thing, but created by the Father, you know. Moon, powerful thing, created by the Father. But people said, that's its own God. So I think it just got like, you know, like leaven in the bread. It just got in there, and you can't get it out.
Lack of the Spirit.
About the
Spirit lifted somewhere along the way there in those 300 years.
Don't have the understanding.
Yeah. You know what amazes me is, if you go to the Old Testament and you go to Isaiah and the different ones, and God must pronounce himself, I don't know how many times, I'm going to say, hefty, whatever, I am the only God. There are no other gods besides me. I am your God. One, he says it over and over. So now, where does man all of a sudden decide that when the New Testament comes, God changed his mind or didn't know what he was saying back there or what? You know, to me, and this might be strong words, but to me, when you start dividing God up, that's blasphemy. You know? And they think it's blasphemy because you don't call Jesus God, you call him. Well, what are you doing to the Father? You don't know him if you're doing this, you know? I mean, why would he pronounce himself all constantly through the Old Testament as the only God? And then decide in the New Testament when his son comes, oh, by the way, there's three of us now. You know, that is ludicrous.
Yeah.
You know, you really gain that, you know, it was kind of mercy that he showed us these things, but that always bothers me. It's like, it hurts me that the Father's being treated that way, you know?
You know, the doctrine of community chapel was believing in the oneness. That was it. You know, they didn't believe in the Trinity, they believed in the oneness. Well, what was this oneness? I guess his name was Jesus. You know, that's what we said. But what? There was no Father then? Or they're saying, well, no, it was, I mean, that's just a variation on the Trinity as far as I'm concerned. Because what, you know, there's something real incoherent going on there.
Right.
You know, his name is Jesus. This one God. You know. Well, there was a Father there too. You know, I always had some trouble with that. I didn't believe there was one God. There was one God.
It shows you how scheming the devil is.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't accept the Trinity? Here, I got another one for you. Oneness.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, because really,
it's true. The oneness is true.
There had to be something embedded somehow in Don's mind that wouldn't completely go to just one God, period. You know?
He wasn't willing to conceive that Jesus was a man.
True.
That's it.
Yeah.
He just did. He cannot be, I mean, he was born of a woman, but came, seed from the Father, you know, and man cannot do these things. Only in God can.
Yeah, which makes no sense when you turn around and you're looking for miracles to happen in your service.
All right.
You know, by who? Well, mm-hmm. By an evangelist or by a preacher or by somebody, an elder, somebody. Well, what is he? You know, you talk about sometimes there's logic that even makes sense.
Well, the new deceptions have a little bit of truth to it. That this deception kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm going to pray that God will do this miracle. Well, okay, if I pray that, did I do that miracle to God? No, I said I'm going to pray that God will do this miracle. Well, so that's, how's that different than Jesus? But you're not calling me a God. You're not getting confused. There's not, no one's pointing the emphasis. There's oneness there. If you pray and a miracle is granted, you too were fully God and fully man there for a moment. And you go, I don't think so.
And in fact, it came up a number of times in the New Testament. And they said, oh, no, we are not gods.
The apostles were clear.
Yep.
I mean, they didn't let that linger at all.
Yeah. You know, having said all that, though, I do very much appreciate the teaching of Community Chapel regarding the Godhead. Godhead. You know, it was getting me. It was a station on the way to the truth, I believe. No. It was not the Trinity. No. There was one God, and there was never any question. But what? There was only one God. Things get a little iffy after that, but I appreciate the teaching of the Community Chapel.
Yeah.
In that respect.
Oh yeah.
Well, and we can certainly say that too much truth all at once and too much revelation all at once without a foundation can lead to madness too.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
We are only good as the Spirit
thing that's interesting, you know, Keith, you mentioned that the Hartleys had asked any new revelations that you've had, and it is funny because we've held with the humanity of Christ for a long time. I don't know, long time, and yet it is a new revelation. It's a new revelation. It's you know, new every morning.
It's new every day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know. So the answer to that question is yeah. We've had new revelation, and it's just a kind of an accumulation, a confirmation, a continuing growing of our understanding of the nature of Jesus.
In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, there's a scripture that says, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And even by making Jesus God, we're putting in a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. That's not the true knowledge.
No.
That's right.
You know, probably for me, I think for most of us, we wouldn't have ever come to this revelation of the humanity without going way back before that and finding out that we had to find out what God meant by what he said and where he can be found.
Yeah.
That was the first big one. And then we realized, oh, we need to be as little children and let only the Father teach us. Well, how does that happen? Well, then he revealed in John, well, I give you the Holy Spirit.
You don't need anybody else to teach you.
Right.
I'll teach you.
Which that just made me so free. It was like, you mean if I just listen with an open heart as a little child, I don't have to go to 20,000 Bible studies and listen to 50 other guys. I just listen to the Holy Spirit from the Father. In his word, though. It's in his word. You know? I mean, that was just amazing.
And when we saw 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, it did something.
That was a beauty.
Yeah, it did something.
That was a jewel. And there's quite a few that have run right along parallel with that, too.
Yeah. Well, there's another scripture that's in the 3rd chapter of 1 John. And it says, it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like. I think it's the 2nd verse or so. But when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
You know what? And that's the difference. What is God? God is spirit. Period.
Yeah.
You don't see him in a form unless he... I mean, I think a lot of that stuff in Revelations is just to give the image that God is there somehow, but it'd be like fire, it'd be all kinds of stuff going on. It wouldn't be a form of a being, of a man.
He takes a form for our benefit.
Yeah, of some sort. You know, like, yeah, whatever Moses, you know, all that. Well, but, you know, that's him, because he can do anything he wants. I mean, he can. But he is spirit, so he's never going to appear as flesh and blood. You know, but it never says that he does appear as flesh and blood.
And I don't know, Scott. I have no way of knowing. Maybe you've already come to this revelation. But I was so impacted that I thought we have to share it the best we can. And after that, it takes the Lord to the Holy Spirit to reveal the rest. And if you have more, bring it to us.
Mm. No. Amen.
Yeah.
No.
Amen.
But anyways, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you.